All right, thank you. We, time to time, find out some of the college students have some talent we didn't know about. In fact, Brother Cruz, Sunday night, Brother Eric was here and his family, one of our grads from way back, and I found out another young man that we haven't heard from, I don't think, up here on the platform can also play some of those instruments that Eric and his family was doing. So I'll talk to you about that later. It is good to have Brother Burton with us. We had him up for prayer and I twisted his arm a little bit, asked him if he wanted to go ahead and preach to us tonight. And he's from Philadelphia. He'll share a little bit there with us. Liberty Baptist, I think, been up there about 7 years. And we appreciate him coming by. He's got testimony. I hope you'll share just a little bit of it with you tonight. So, Brother Burton, you come on as the Lord leads you, please.
All right. Well, praise the Lord. My preacher said you ought to be ready to preach, pray, or die. Amen. And I'm ready to do all of them, I believe. And thank the Lord. He's been good to me. 13 years ago, two teenage boys knocked on my door in El Dorado, Arkansas. I was a bartender at Applebee's, never been to church. My dad was a 27-year military man. My mother and father are here visiting with us. My wife is next to them. And my three kids are taking all your kids' money over in the auditorium across over there. Because we're from Philly, amen. But those two teenage boys knocked on my door and they invited me to church. One of them's dad was a preacher. And they came back to my house four times. I never went to church, and they came back to my house four times. And I really knew something was missing in my life. I didn't know what it was. I had no idea it was the Lord or anything. But I went to church that Sunday morning. Preacher preached on Psalm 23. Didn't hang me over hell or anything, but the Holy Spirit of God moved in and convicted me. I sat on the third to last row, walked forward that day, and got born again. Amen. And that may not be good Philadelphia English, but that's good Florida English right there. Born again. And so, thank God he saved me. He changed my life forever. I've never been the same. A couple of years after that, God called me to preach. Went to Bible college. Met my wife. Very first day we were married. 10 months later, her daddy said it was okay. The pastor said it was okay. Her youth pastor said it was okay. The college president said it was okay. The president said it was, or the vice president said it was okay. And the college pastor said it was okay. So we thought it would be okay. And we did what they said, and we got married. Shortly after that, God called me to the inner city of Philadelphia. And in Philadelphia, there is no sweet tea, amen. And we went there anyway. And God blew in and changed lives. Miss Gloria Da Silva and Tiffany Da Silva and Jesse were all in our church before they moved here. And when you got them, you got some good ones. And I thank God they're in a great church, and they've grown tremendously because of it. But God has done a work in the inner city. We're in what's called the Badlands of Philadelphia. Nobody wants to go there. If your car broke down there, you would be a little taken back. But the gospel light shines bright in the dark spots. Amen. And God has did a work there. He's blown in, done a mighty work. God is blessing our church tremendously. They're doing well in missions. We're running buses and we're reaching that city and getting ready to start the Bible Baptist Church of Philadelphia 1.5 miles away in about 3 months. And he said 1.5 is not a good way to do it. Well, not here, but there it is. Amen. And there's 40,000-50,000 people in between us and them. And so we're going to start that church. We're out raising support on some of that, have a lot of that that's already come in. We're getting ready to buy a building. God's doing an amazing work. I appreciate if you pray for us. I'm glad God saves old sinners. And I'm glad I is one. Amen. And he came by and got me. Changed my life forever. I've never been the same. I hope that you've never been the same since, too. I know I'm in the Bible Belt, amen, but this has become the mission field down here because everybody in the South thinks they're saved and they're not. And everybody in the North has no idea. And so I love where I'm at, and it's a tremendous opportunity where I'm at. And down here, man, you've got them camouflaged, and they know what to say to you, and they can tell you just the right things back at the door. Up there, they don't have the answers at the door. Nobody's told them yet. And so I thank God that we're there. Acts chapter number 26, Brother Carter, I count it an honor and a privilege to be in your church. I met Brother Carter in Walls, Mississippi a couple years ago, and then also met him at a Solid Rock Baptist Church in Berlin, New Jersey a couple of years ago. And he meets a lot of people, and I'm just honored to be here, privileged, and was really looking forward to what he had to say tonight. And my mom and dad are in a great church in Fayetteville, North Carolina, Brooks Grimes, Northview Baptist Church there, and we're just visiting town and got to come by and see Miss Gloria and the kids, and so we get to preach a little bit, so I'm excited about that. Acts chapter number 26, we're going to start reading in verse number 22. The Bible says, "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day." And that's a good thing right there. He obtained help from God, and that's why he continues, and that's why a lot of folks don't continue, because they're not getting their help from God. And he says, "Witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those things which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first to that should raise from the dead, and should show a light unto the people and unto the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness, for the king knoweth those things before whom I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God, not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, we're both almost all together such as I am, and accept these bonds." I want to go ahead and pray. I want to preach a message to you. I'll give you the title in just a minute. Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you, and God, I thank you for the opportunity to get behind a sacred desk, Lord, in a great church, Father, and I pray, Lord, you touch us tonight, God. Oh, God, touch us in a mighty way. May we hear from you tonight, Lord. May you send us home different. May we never be the same because of what the preached word of God can do in our life, and may we wake up where we're at, Lord, and get after it and be what we're supposed to be for you and be used the way you intend to use us. God, please do a work in here. Please, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. I say this, a lot of us may understand what's going on in this passage. I want you to look at verse number 1 of chapter number 26. The Bible says, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth his hand and answered for himself and says, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day, touching all these things whereof I'm accused of the Jews." I want you to understand, in Acts chapter number 26, Paul has been in jail for 2 years. He's been in jail because he's been preaching the gospel. He won't stop. And he's living for the Lord. He's starting churches. And God has blown into his life. And he's there. And there's a man named Festus in Acts chapter number 25 who is in Caesarea Philippi. And he's got Paul because the Jews are trying to trap Paul, trying to kill Paul. And he's being held. And Paul's appealing unto Caesar. And Festus has Paul. And Agrippa comes. And Festus says, "Man, I got this guy that keeps telling people that there's one named Jesus that rose from the dead." And he tells him his story, and Agrippa says, "I want to hear what he's got to say," and so does Bernice. And so they have a whole group of men at this little meeting here, and there are people that want Paul dead, and Paul's been in jail for 2 years. And he says, "I think myself happy." Now, I want you to understand what that word happy there means. It's the same word used in Matthew chapter number 5 for blessed or blessed. And it's a word that can only be used for people that are saved. It's not just, ha, 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 I'm happy. No, I'm not going to make myself happy. I've heard a lot of preachers say, well, he was just trying to have a positive attitude. That's not what he was doing. He was saying, I am spiritually blessed. I'm saved. And God has done something for me. And I'm glad you're going to let me talk. And I'm afraid if some of us had been in jail for a couple of years, because of preaching the gospel, the first thing we would have done when they let us talk is we might have just, you know, kind of said, well, you know, can I please go home? But Paul wasn't like that. And Paul has the same God that we've got. And Paul wasn't going to sit down on this. And Paul starts going through his testimony and starts telling them what happened to him, how he persecuted the Jews, and how he at midday he saw a light from heaven come down, and Jesus came down and touched him and convicted him, and Paul would be saved. And then Paul goes on to say in verse number, let's look here at verse number 16, after he gives his testimony of how he used to kill people and how he used to round them up and how he used to persecute, and then he said he got saved. And look what the Lord tells Paul in verse number 16 in Paul's story to Agrippa and Festus. Says, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of the things which thou hast seen and of those things which I shall appear unto thee. See, Paul's been sitting in jail for 2 years. And God tells him, man, I'm going to make you a minister and a witness and of what you've already know and what I'm going to show you, Paul. And I'm going to have you go reach the world for Jesus. And then Paul begins to give a list of the things God told him to do in verse number 18. And then he says in verse 19, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Hey, listen to me now. Paul's pretty excited about being saved. Paul's pretty excited about having the King of Kings for his king. And he's not going to sit down on it. And when we come to the little passage I read to you, you know, Paul tells them all this stuff about Jesus rose from the dead, and he continued to this day. And then Agrippa or Festus says, Paul, thou art beside thyself. You know what he was saying there? Paul, you're a psycho. Paul, what's wrong with you? Much learning doth make thee mad. Isn't it amazing? Now, I don't know when you got saved. I know when I got saved. But when I got saved, suddenly all the people I hung out with thought something was wrong with me now. I mean, I go from being messed up to getting my life together, and now I'm messed up. They're like, what's going on with you? And that's what happens. And that's what they did to Paul. And he said, no, I'm not mad. I'm not crazy. And then he switches over to Agrippa. He changes the over to Agrippa. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? He's off of Festus. Now he's talking to Agrippa. And Agrippa says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian? Now, a lot of folks I've heard it preached a lot of different ways. And if you study it out, I don't believe Agrippa was saying, you almost had me, big guy. I believe he was a little bit upset that Paul was trying to turn him into a Christian. And he got a little offended at it. I want to tell you what I think Paul was saying. I think those two guys were looking at the Apostle Paul and they were saying this. Paul, what's the big deal? I mean, Paul, what's the big deal with this thing? What are you so excited for, Paul? And I believe the Apostle Paul just kind of answered him back with the same exact wording. Just another. What's the big deal? I mean, I've been talking to you two for the last 30 minutes. I've showed you some things in the Word of God, and you want to know what the big deal is? And I'm afraid, Christians, there's a lot of Christians saying, what's the big deal anymore? I mean, what's the big deal? Man, we've gotten over what God did for us. I remember when I first got saved, my mom and dad weren't in church, and I came home, and I was telling mom how excited it was, and she said, son, that's good, but eventually that's probably going to die off. And it didn't die off, and actually put her on fire for God. My mom and dad both in church today because of that. And I don't believe it has to die off, but I'm just telling you, we've lost our fire for God somewhere. See, a lot of us might have walked in tonight, man, it's just what we do on Wednesdays, prayer meeting or Bible study or whatever it would be called. What's the big deal, Brother Burton? Well, Paul tells us what's the big deal. Yeah. Hey, when's the last time you got excited about Jesus? Yeah. Right. I'm just telling you now, don't take saving a drug addict to get excited about Jesus. My little wife's been saved since she was 10, and she got fired up about it. And Ken Pledger used to be her pastor in Middleburg, Florida, and man, God blew in on their lives. And she's been saved since she was 10. Listen, we've gotten over salvation. Tonight, I just want to ask you, do you When's the last time you made a big deal about Jesus? When's the last time you took out a gospel tract at the gas station and said, it's a big deal? Jesus is a big deal to me. I get up on airplanes now. Wherever I go, at the end of the airplane ride, I hit that little light, and you can get up, and I get up, and I start talking about how good Jesus is. My wife told me a couple years ago, she said, Burton, they'll take you to jail if you do that a lot. So they can just take me to jail, because I'm going to get up and say, today I just got up and said, man, I just want to say I love Jesus. He's been so good to me, and he's wonderful, and we ought to thank him for what he's done. And listen to me, John 1:12 says that as many received him, him he gave the power to become the sons of God. And I said, Jesus loves us. And I had a couple people today, because I'm down in Florida, and they're like, oh, man, that was great. But I'm going to give that same speech when I get back into Philly next week, and they're not going to look like that. They're mad. Right. But it's just, why would I not make a big deal about something that's such a big deal? Right. Hey, what about you? When's the last time you made a big deal about the Lord? Well, what's the big deal, Brother Burton? You haven't told us what the big deal is. Well, let's look at it real quick. Verse number 18. Jesus tells Paul, I'm going to make you a minister. I'm going to make you a witness of both the things you've seen and the things I'm going to teach you. And the same thing is for you and me. God didn't save us to sit soaking sour. God didn't save us just to sit on here, our little blessed assurance, and not do something for God. He's a big deal to me. I love him with all my heart. I want to see him right now. I'm going to serve him the rest of my life. I want my kids to say, Daddy, he's a big deal. I want my kids to see Daddy on fire for God like this at the house. When I walk into my house, I'm just a high-wire guy. Anybody knows that? And when I come to my house, I'll run in there and go, woo, come on, where you guys at? And they'll just look and like, hey, Dad. But if I walk in there like, I'm home. Dad, what's wrong? Man, I want my kids to know that it's the same in church as it is at home. It's a big deal, folks. We've gotten over the big deal. Well, I'm going to show you why it's a big deal real quick. Paul gave it to him. Gave it to him here very, very simply said. It's all right in the word of God for us tonight. Amen. Paul said, verse 17, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee to open their eyes and to turn them from the darkness to the light. Hey, it's a big deal when I got my eyes open. It's a big deal when you got your eyes open. Do you remember when God opened your eyes? I mean, how it just flipped, the light flipped on. You're like, wow, this is incredible what has just happened to me. God said, Paul, I want you to go open their eyes, turn them from the darkness to the light. That's the one of our mottos at our church, taking them from the darkness to the light. And it's dark everywhere, folks. And if we don't make a big deal about Jesus, shame on us. Amen. I don't care where we're at, man. We ought to be making a big deal about Jesus. Everybody in here ought to get a little bit of oomph in them tonight and go down to the grocery store or down to the gas station, down to the McDonald's or whatever it is. Take that track out and say, it's a big deal. Hashtag, it's a big deal. If you Facebook, Twitter, and all that stuff, it's a big, big deal. What is? Jesus is. Why? Because he opened my eyes. He gave me a vision. He opened my eyes with a spiritual vision. I was able to see things like I'd never seen them before. It's unbelievable what happened to us. That's why it's a big deal. It's unbelievable what happened to the Apostle Paul. He wasn't looking for God. I wasn't looking for God. And you weren't looking for God. But he came and got us anyway. And he opened up our eyes. I mean, we sit in church and think, well, you know, it's almost time for the roast to be ready and different things like that. Man, it's just not the way it should be. Right. It's a big deal when God blew in on our lives. Right. To open their eyes and to turn them from the darkness to the light. Listen, have you ever had your eyes opened? I mean, did you see anything different when you got saved? Or was it just another day? Wasn't just another day for me, Brother Carter. Oh, no, it was something big for me. And I didn't even understand it like you folks in the Bible Belt did. I've been to church twice in my life, and that was on military bases for special occasions, and we didn't really do nothing there. And I went into church, and man, the lights got flipped on. Went home, called Granny. Granny, you're not going to believe this, but I got saved today. Oh, son, I'm so glad you got saved. Called my mama. Mama, I got saved today. Well, son, I'm so glad you got saved. Man, they knew it was a big deal. Hey, is it a big deal to you? Do you got enough oomph in you tonight to go tell somebody about the big deal? Go to your neighbor's house and say it's a big deal. I'm just telling you, man, he opened your eyes. And then maybe you never had them opened. Maybe you're just sitting in church and you prayed a prayer and you don't really know the Lord. I'm not trying to get anybody off on their salvation. I'm just telling you, man, it's a big stinking deal when God moves inside of your heart and changes your life. When's it been a big deal to you last? Paul said, Agrippa, God told me to go open their eyes and take them from the darkness to the light. And Agrippa and Festus are listening to that, and they're just like, well, you know, I expect an unsaved person not to get excited tonight in here. But man, we are saved. The folks that are blood bought know the Lord, man. You ought to be getting a little bit giddy right now. Starting to do a little bit of shaking in you, getting a little excited about what God did. Want to tell somebody about what Jesus is, who he is, what he's done. He opened your eyes. Amen. Then he says to him, and take him from the power of Satan unto God. Man, he didn't only give you a spiritual vision. He gave you new ownership. Amen. That's good. That's right. I mean, I don't go soul winning like this. Hey, ma'am, did you know that your father is the devil? And I don't do that. But it's as true as me saying it to you right now, a person that's not saved. Right. And it's all through the Bible. Right. And God gave us new ownership. And I was beat down in my life, 31 years old without nothing. And God came by and said, man, I'll be your father. I'll adopt you. I'll take you in. I'll be there for your burden. And that became a pretty big deal to me. And it was such a big deal to me. The guy that discipled me when I got saved in Arkansas moved to Philly to be my assistant pastor. He said, I just saw something different with old Burton, man. I just wanted to go be around it. And God's blowing in. Why? Because he gave us new ownership. I'm in the Badlands of Philadelphia, man, and one block in every direction from my church, they're selling $10 bags of heroin. Someone has been killed on every one of those blocks in the last 4 months, and someone will be killed on them real quick here again. And it's just it's a terrible place, but listen, when you open their eyes up and you give them new ownership, something happens to those folks. Something happens down there. Hey, I'm just telling you, what happened? The big deal happened. Jesus Almighty happened. That's what Paul said. What's the big deal? He opened my eyes. He took me from the darkness to the light. He gave me new ownership, and he told me to go give them all new ownership. You know why you're not giving nobody new ownership? Because it just ain't a big deal no more. Man, we ought to get to the altar tonight and just beg God to make it a big deal. You understand, there ain't a switch you can hit to flip it into a big deal. Well, I'm gonna make it a big deal from now on. No, it's gonna take prayer. Right. It's gonna take dedication, devotion. You can lose God in a day, but it'll take you 3 to find him. Yeah. And just whatever that may mean to you, hey, it's a big deal, folks. Yeah, right. I mean, we ought to have a little swagger in our step because we got the big deal in us. We shouldn't sit down on God, let people talk bad about him and say things about him and go against him and not stand up for him. I'm so tired of hearing that we're supposed to just be meek and mild. Meekness doesn't mean weakness. It's power under control. Hey, but we ought to voice our opinion. Paul didn't sit down. Hey, Paul, we got you in jail for 2 years. We want you to talk. Well, guys, I wish you'd let me go home. No, he said, I think myself happy. I am saved to the uttermost, and I know that I am, and I'm going to tell you what happened to me. And he always gave his testimony. When's the last time you gave your testimony? He said, well, you know, Brother Bert, we're down here in Florida, man. Everybody's got the testimony. So what? So what? Paul is in heaven right now still telling people his testimony. I'm just telling you, he opened our eyes and gave us gave us a vision and then gave us new ownership. Then it says that they may receive the forgiveness of sins. Listen, I don't know what a sinner you are, but I know what a Savior he is. Amen. Well, how do you know what he is, Brother Burton? Because he forgave me of my sins. Yeah, right.
I mean, there's things I've done that she'll never know that nobody will ever know. Why? Because I don't have to tell anybody. God forgave me of them. And the devil beats me down to this day about that stuff. And I just have to remember what the book says. And I've read it a few times. And I'm thinking, man, God know what the book says. And I have faith in it. Hey, listen, you got forgiveness of sins. And it doesn't matter if you were 10 or 31. Right. Man, nobody's going to forgive you like God. As a matter of fact, most people have said they forgave you, hadn't forgave nothing. Right. They're still holding on to it. God didn't forget nothing. You can't forgive and forget. You'd have to have amnesia to forget something, but God forgave us. Hey, Paul, go tell them you're going to take them from the darkness to the light. You're going to give them new ownership. And by the way, just throw this one on there because I like doing it, Paul, because I'm God. I'm going to forgive them all their sins. I thank God that my sins are forgiven. And what about you, man? That's a big deal. You young people over here, that's a big deal. If I was you, I'd stand up in the middle of my pew right now and just woo! It's a big deal. I wouldn't sit next to anybody that didn't feel the same way. It's a big deal to be saved. It's a big deal to get your sins forgiven. It's a big deal to get new ownership. It's a big deal to get the lights turned on. And we got it. Then it says, an inheritance among them that are sanctified. By the way, that inheritance is incorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away, and is reserved in heaven for you. Brother Carter, I rent a few cars every now and then. I get to one. We got to one in Seattle one time. I said, my name's Burton Gates. I'm going to pick my car up. They went, shh. Oh. I said, well, what's wrong? They go, we got your reservation. We just don't have your car. And I said, well, wait a minute. You don't have my reservation if you don't have my car. I said, man, I'm in Seattle, Washington. I need the car. Well, I'm so sorry. You understand that doesn't happen with God. Man, he's got it reserved in heaven for us, an inheritance. And the earnest money of the inheritance was the Spirit of God coming to live inside of us. I'm just going to go ahead and give you a little earnest money or an earnest down payment of the Spirit of God, and then I'm going to come back later, and I'm getting everybody out of here. Hey, it's undefiled. It fadeth not away. It's ours. It's an inheritance. Folks, I'm just telling you, you ought to have something going on inside of you. Man, we got forgiven of our sins. We have an inheritance that no one can take from us. Nobody's come back to get it. If the stock market closes, it don't matter. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. Amen. Hello, baby. At least you want to put a track down and say, he's dead. God ain't an old man with a beard, with a cane. He ain't hunched over. He ain't got a headache. He's not scratching his head, and he's not trying to figure it out, man. He's God. Amen. And it's a big deal to have that inheritance. I mean, that inheritance makes me walk a little bit different. I'm not trying to be an arrogant or nasty or anything, but I am not going to walk hunched over like this and come and think, man, I got God. I love him. He's wonderful to me. He changed all my family's life. My mom and daddy, it changed their life. My uncles and aunts, it changed their life. That people in Philadelphia, I got a bunch of Puerto Rican folks, a bunch of black folks, a bunch of white folks where God turned the light on and changed them. And it's different. And listen, if anybody comes in there and tells them that anybody has church for an hour ever, I will kill you. We just decide, man, we're going to have church till God leaves. If anybody says that they have committees built places in churches, I won't like that. We don't want that. We don't want you ever come in and tell them there's committees. They just believe the pastor ought to run the show. And that's what the Bible says anyway, folks. Well, it's a big deal when God turns the light on. Amen. Have you had your light turned on? What about that inheritance? Man, doesn't that do something for you? Them that are sanctified. I like that word sanctified, man. I'm clean. God's cleaning me up. I'm not cleaning me up. Amen. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to the word. Amen. Hey, God's cleaning us up. Amen. My dad used to have an old fishing boat. We'd go fishing. We'd catch a bunch of brim. And, we'd sometimes catch 50, 60 brim. And at the end of the time, I don't know, bluegill, whatever you want to call them. And at the end of it, my dad said, well, son, do you want to clean them? You want to let them go? Or no, he wouldn't say that. I said, Daddy, let's not clean them. Let's just let them go. He said, your grandma will kill us. Your granny will kill us if we let them go. my granny would just clean them. But what really happened, my dad, we go back, and I was grown when this was happening. Like, we go back, my dad said, son, I'll clean them. And I thank God for my dad wanting to clean them fish. But the same for all of us stinky fish in this room, man. God's cleaning us up. Paul, just go on and tell him, Paul, that you're going to flip the lights on. God, I'm going to flip the lights on. I'm going to forgive them of their sins. I'm going to give them a new ownership. I'm going to give them an inheritance. And Paul, by the way, tell him that I'm going to clean them up. And that's what's going to happen. Man, God, none of you folks, we may look real nice in our suits and our dresses and all that good stuff and have standards and all that. But let me tell you something. How you feeling about Jesus tonight inside? When's the last time you made a big deal about it? He said, but Bert, I'm 70 years old. Last time I checked, Moses was doing something at 80.
Right.
And was pretty strong about it.
Right.
And Joshua, Caleb. He said, well, that was back then. That's what our problem is. We think the back then God ain't this God. Hey, he is a big time God. He's going to blow into Philadelphia. We're going to start 20 churches in the inner city. Well, what are you going to do? Just going to do what Paul said to do. I'm going to turn the lights on. I'm going to give them new ownership. I'm going to tell them about the forgiveness of sins, the inheritance, and tell them that don't worry. You don't have to clean nothing up. God will clean you up.
Right.
I ain't had to clean nobody up.
Right.
I barely take care of myself.
Right.
That's just the honest to God truth. God blows in and does it. And he says, by faith in me. Paul, tell them all that's going to be done, but they're going to have to believe it's me. Man, Paul's giving Agrippa and Festus a rock-solid testimony. Then he gives them the gospel and tells them about Jesus, the Christ who suffered from the dead and be the first to raise from the dead. And they thought he was crazy. And Paul said, what's the big deal? And God came and got me one day. That's what the big deal is, Agrippa. And I don't only wish that you, but everybody that hears me, all these Jewish folks, they're trying to kill me, all the chief men of the city that are in the room with us. That's why Paul wasn't afraid to talk about God, because God was real to him. And God was a big deal to him.
Right.
Folks, if we're not careful, we're going to lose God altogether.
Yeah.
We can be saved. That's great. I believe in eternal security. The Bible teaches it. No way to lose that. There's a lot of saved folks walking around, but there ain't a lot of real Christians walking around no more.
Right.
And this is probably supposed to be one of the greatest churches. I mean, I've never heard it. I don't know you from Adam, but it's a great church, great pastor, great bunch of folks. That lady over there has grown tremendously in this place. And I wouldn't have been able to help her like you've helped her here. But I tell you this, he's a big deal to me.
Amen.
I'm not sitting down on them. My mom and dad paid for us a little vacation, and I got three kids. We're at Disney, but we're walking around with a pocket full of tracks and telling people to consider him. He's a big deal.
Right.
And if they get mad, that's okay.
Yeah.
Because he's still a big deal.
Right.
Hey, go get Paul, man. He's been back there 2 years, and tell him to come out here, and we'll see if he wants to be a big man like he's been acting like he is now. It's been 2 years in jail. He was in jail, folks, a wet, damp, dirty dungeon, and he came out swinging. And we've become so complacent in our Christianity, man. I just don't know. I hate that for the Lord. I hate it. And I hate it for these kids. And I hate it for these college students, man. This thing's worth it all. It's worth it all, and God's still working. Folks, God's still working. Blown into the inner city like none other. Never, none other. They told me when I went there, it was no. They'd never be an old-fashioned, Bible-believing, standard-having, hymn-singing, nail-biting church. And guess what they are? They're Bible believers that God blew in and changed them.
Amen.
Because I won't let them get over it.
Amen.
And when they don't come to church, Brother Carter, I call them, hey, where was you at? I said, well, I don't know if you should do that, Brother Burton, but you don't pastor my church. I bet you Paul called him. Hey, where was you at? Well, I had, my family came into town. Your family is more important than God. Man, we just keep it tight in the Lord. And folks, why don't you go make a big deal about Jesus tonight? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.
Brother Carter.